Central Valley. It's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And we are live. Welcome to the Rye Show. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson here at the Great Fashion Furniture Studios on Blackstone. Matty J, how are you, kid?
I'm doing very well, my friend.
It's exciting time if you're a basketball fan in college. It is on.
I think it's officially on. We'll make some comments that I have to say about when does it really get on. Well, it starts today. None of this crap about these playing games, these first four, last four, whatever the heck they want to call it. The tournament now is on.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to be fun. You're going to be seeing a few upsets because I think parity in college basketball is getting closer and closer. Unless you're the elite, the rest, anybody could be almost beat anybody anymore.
I think you're making a statement that has no validity to me at all. I think it's been close. The parity you talk about, it's only been around for the last 20-plus years in college basketball. There are the blue bloods, but with the advent of players coming in for 1 year or going right off to college or to NBA quickly, the synergy, the actual team play of basketball has changed because you've got a young group of freshmen running around as opposed to the old days when there were groups of seniors making runs for championships. I think once you get past maybe two or three teams, everyone has a shot at any time. The up-and-coming small schools have a shot at beating people. You just saw Yale took LSU to the wire. Yale, out of the Ivy League, took a SEC conference champion-level team to the end of a game right to the wire. That tells me all I need to know right there.
No question about it. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about baseball hitting. Has it changed from the youth up? We're going to talk...
It's changed. They can't hit anymore. That's apparent to me. We'll talk about that.
Fresno State commit of quarterback has got just on an offer from Alabama. We'll kind of throw that in there.
Nice for Fresno State. Anytime we have a recruit that we're going to go get and he has Alabama on the offer sheet, great recruiting job, Coach Tedford.
Yeah, really, really is. But Tedford picked him out first, and then I think Saban came in and goes, "Hey, guys, we need a quarterback. Who's that kid out there?"
So, well, we'll talk about that later, but, you know, obviously Alabama does not have quarterbacks. They never have parlayed their quarterbacking into the NFL. You'd have to trace it all the way back to probably Richard Todd was not bad, played for the Jets back when you and I were younger, Nick. Of course, Ken Stabler and Joe Namath, they worked out pretty good. But other than that, for all the success of Alabama football, they don't produce quarterbacks.
They don't. It's not a quarterback university.
We'll talk about that later in the day.
Also, the new era, a new thing that might be seen, we're going to talk about it, is I'm seeing now high school kids acting like they're going to college. You know, I've decided to go to school A, but I want to take my family and friends, but I'm going to transfer to school B. And it's like a college atmosphere with the hats almost on the table. Does the CIF look at that? We're going to talk about that. But before we talk about anything,
yes,
I want to talk about fashion furniture and, of course, our friends at
Firehouse Subs.
Firehouse Subs.
Yes, sir.
What can you say? If you're first time ever at Fashion Furniture here on Blackstone and River Park, what would you say to start with here?
I would say 22-time world champion. I don't know if that means anything, but they've been the gold medal winner forever. So what you know you have here is championship-level service, championship-level financing, championship-level quality. They are the champion, the unquestioned leader in California for this type of business. Fabulous. And if you haven't heard about fashion furniture, there's no hope for any of us because it's over.
Yeah, it really is. And if you're driving by and you see a furniture store and it says bargain furniture, the guy, they're probably getting it from a little shop in New Guinea. Okay, I wouldn't trust it. It's going to be in a probably a garage sale within a year.
I go with your famous line of, if you drive by and there's a guy dressed up in a grizzly bear costume spinning a sign to get you to come in, you might want to rethink your buying position. Might want to rethink it.
Yeah, rethink that one because that stuff's going to be in a garage sale within a year. So, Matty J, yesterday I'm driving through Chowchilla, Hurricane Fifi again. It was 82 the day before. Today it's a little cloudy, but it's almost baseball, softball weather.
Well,
are we getting there?
We're getting there. But on that point, meteorologists, the weather reporting, the business of weather reporting, could it be the most throw a dart at the board to see where it sticks profession in all of the world? Because every report I got yesterday, and I'm a track and field coach also at Madera South, and we were at the CMAC NYL relays at Madera Veteran Stadium. And, you know, they had chances at 12:30, 20%, then it went a little to 30%, and 40% rain, 50% chance, and it never was much beyond that. It looked like we were going to get a pretty good bit of rain that hit us about 4 on the radar. The Doppler report was showing that later in the evening there'd be rain from late till 3-4 hours of late. That rain hit that stadium yesterday, Nick, was without question right at the top of my list of absolute Philippine-style, Thailand, Vietnamese-style downpour that hit. It wasn't showing on anyone's report from the night earlier or in the morning. How can we be so wrong on weather? We can send a man to the moon, but we can't tell you with any kind of definite value. How about 100% chance? Because we got 100% chance of rain. Not a 30% chance. 100% chance of rain hit us yesterday. How do they miss that?
It didn't really hit Fresno yesterday. I thought it was going that way. As I drove through Madera, from Chowchilla to Madera, it just got clear. So, I don't know. You were right.
Well,
in
why
the middle
couldn't
of
the report state Madera 100%, Clovis 30%, because it went in waves like that. But we got splashed. The track meet was canceled, and it takes a lot of bad weather, rain, to cancel a all weather track meet. It takes a lot.
Really does. And I don't know what to tell you, but it's causing, you know, high school baseball, softball teams to re-figure out how to get the fields ready. Because like I said before, if your outfield has Canadian geese landing in on it, you're probably not ready to play a little baseball game. And I see that all over the place.
Well, maybe it'll give the baseball players time to, you know, help improve their hitting. Because this is without question, there's a trend developing in the world of batting and hitting a baseball that is alarming right now. I see more strikeouts, more offers, more poor batting averages by high school ball players from all over, that there has to be some trend developing that is not good for baseball.
And I watch plenty of baseball games, and I sit in the front row where you know where I like to sit, right behind home plate, so I can see if the ball's outside or not.
Yeah.
Because if you're sitting on the third or first baseline and that catcher maybe he's lined up maybe 3 inches outside and he'll catch it, but the mitt never moved, but the board on the first and third are going, how did you miss that, Blue? And I'm like, God, it was that far outside. I would always point to everybody. But I'm thinking to myself, I see a lot of high school games. You're in the on-deck circle, and you're getting mentally ready, right, as
yep.
you should be.
Yep.
You're swinging the bat, whatever you're mentally focused, ready to do. You've seen the pitcher throw some, you know, whatever. Guy, you know, buddy, number one, Roger, you know, Hornsby, whatever it is. He sees it all of a sudden. He's in there getting ready. First pitch, right down Cockapoo Lane. He takes it for a strike. Now, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a hitter and he throws me a fastball, I'm unleashing it on it.
Yeah.
How are kids anymore taking strikes right down the middle, and all of a sudden you're 0-1? I don't understand the think process going on here.
Well, there has to be a level of coaching that tells you, you are taking the first pitch, period. We are taking pitches.
I think it drives high school coaches crazy, because I think it's just like AAU in football and 7-on-7
yeah.
and in baseball. Every kid has a baseball hitting coach. And there must be talk in between, because I have never seen so many called thirds in my whole life.
Well, you know, that's another – I wasn't going to go in that direction. I was going in the direction of, if you take the three – you could say four major sports, but let's really pick on the three major sports in America today. Football, one. Basketball, two. Baseball, three. Baseball, two. Whatever. Football, basketball, baseball. In every one of those pro sports, and since you and I have been around long enough to realize, when we were young, there was a great sense of technique in all of the sports. There was a great sense of utilizing the tools that you have afforded to you and getting the best out of your ability to pass the ball, shoot the ball with good percentage from the outside. All of a sudden, probably around the mid-70s to 80s, probably late 70s to mid-80s, the fine art of dunking became very popular. Dr. J taking a guy in deep and rising above and throwing down in his face. And everybody growing up in my era wanted to try to elevate and play above the rim.
And thanks to ESPN.
And slam dunk, and thanks to ESPN and highlight reels.
Yeah.
The fine art of actually manipulating the basketball on the perimeter, hitting the skip pass across court, hitting the 20-foot jumper to win a ball game became all about the inside play. You got to go all the way back. Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon. Think of all the Bill Cartwright. Think of all the great centers that we watched. Then what happened to the game in college, which translated into the NBA? The three-point line was invented. The three-point shooter became a little bit more. The inside game didn't become as popular. Right about the time Shaquille O'Neal was trying to call it quits, the game became a perimeter game again, with great one-guard, two-guard, three-guard, shooting forwards. And now the game has fully evolved in basketball into a game where, guess what? They can shoot outside again. Some of the greatest shooting exhibitions from high school, junior high, all the way to the NBA have been proven to me week in and week out. NFL did the same thing. The game changed from being a running game to a passing game. In your great sport of baseball, Nick, the game has changed from the Pete Rose era of banging out hits, Ricky Henderson getting on base all the time, to these big, giant behemoths of hitting long balls with this uppercut cut swing. The kids can't bat anymore. It's all the way or nothing. I've lost touch with today's game of baseball because I don't see games or players much more with, yes, he's now approaching the 4,000 hit mark. He's now approaching 200 hits in a season. Nope. It's all about 59, 56, 65, 42 home runs.
And hitting 210.
And hitting 210. Lots of strikeouts. It's all or nothing. And I think that's what you're seeing, and you would agree, at the lower levels, what do we all do? We mimic the big-time pros. We want to slam dunk, we mimic the pros. We want to hit shots like Steph Curry, we mimic the pros. We want to throw for 6,000 yards like Drew Brees, we become Drew Brees. We want to spread out the offenses now. Baseball has followed suit.
Well, two players you mentioned in basketball has changed the game of basketball. Shaquille O'Neal back in the day where he was hacked every time, they didn't call fouls, physical inside, they changed the game. Don't you agree that Shaquille O'Neal changed the physical game?
Well,
and then Steph Curry came in, started shooting threes, and every kid wanted to be Steph Curry.
That's what I'm saying.
Those two guys have changed the game. Baseball-wise, you're not – and Mike, great job in texting in. I'm getting a lot of emails on this. But travel ball has changed hitting because everyone wants to go deep, and eye is on them. Okay, very good. Strikeouts, is not, you're not embarrassed anymore. Now, I don't think – I can't remember – back in the day,
yeah, but hold
ever
up,
took a
you
called
just,
third.
You just said that you just, yeah, you started this conversation with, you've seen a lot of called thirds. That's not striking out. When I hear the word strikeout, you took a hack at it and you struck out.
No, you
if
don't
you
see
get,
that anymore.
If you get caught looking, now that might be AAU
like
ball
Mike's
some
saying,
of the problem.
That's, you're not embarrassed anymore. You just walk back to the dugout, put your hat down. Because no one's changing their swing. Two strikes, the old days, you choke up, you're going to put the ball in play, you're shorting your swing up, you're making contact, you're putting the ball in play. Now they're still yakking for the home run. They're still swinging for the fences. This is why high school, I just don't know if people know how to hit anymore, and that's why you see this is the era of pitching. Now, I'll have to say, though, I look at my great Bullard Knight, we were number one team in the country back in the day. My hitting team back there with Rex and Dave, we did have three major leaguers on the team.
Yeah.
We're clearly 10 times better than any high school team I've seen. And I watch a lot of high school because they don't make adjustments.
Hitting.
Well, our Coach Noakes was a very aggressive coach. If he throws you a fastball down the middle, and if you take it, give me your bat because you're going to be sitting down. That's the way it was.
Yeah.
If we got to the best way to hit with two strikes is don't get to two strikes. That's how we were taught. Because if we ever took a call third, we will run until we throw up. We literally ran all day. And that's how you learn in your head. I'm not striking out. Anything close, I'm going to choke up and put the bat on the ball.
Yeah.
These kids now, they just, I don't know how, I talk to so many coaches, Matt, and it just drives them crazy. And it's, I think it's the hitting coaches in summertime. Maybe Matt, Mike's right. Summer ball is killing hitting anymore. You're going to see more strikeout and pitchers. Like, we're going to talk about Riley Cooper struck out 17 Cougars when we come back last Friday night, and I'll tell you why. Don't go anywhere. And you always call in the show, 844-940-ESPN. I want to hear your thoughts. We're listening to The Rise Show.
On ESPN. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Rise Show for your on a Thursday afternoon here live from Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. I think it's springtime, but it's officially spring, but it's just time to get your house ready, Matt. This is the place.
This is the place. One-stop shop. Get everything you need to get the house right for the spring fling festival parties that we throw at our house.
The Cozia? Tell them about that.
Well, everyone knows about that. That's the Cozia recliner slash massage slash aircraft state-of-the-art piece of machinery in here that can take your body to new heights. How's that?
Yeah, I like it. And, of course, we have the – tell me about your famous sandwich. What do you like?
I like everything. I can't zero in on one. I mean, you can go with the brisket that you continually talk about, which is top-notch. But, I don't know, a little variety. I'm kind of just a standard baseline little ham and turkey guy sometimes.
And what's our favorite place? Tell them. They like when you talk.
Well, it's a little place called Firehouse Subs.
Might and they're on Herndon, Fowler, Blackstone, and East, right down the road here.
That's right. And they give back to our community in all different types of ways. They give back to the great athletic programs all over the valley. If you participate in using their restaurant as your home base to get sandwiches or whatever you need for your party, for giving out awards or end of the year type stuff, they'll make sure they take care of you on that. And of course, our first responders rely on companies just like Firehouse Subs to make sure they have all the equipment necessary. And Firehouse Subs over the years has given millions back to first responders to keep everyone safe.
Well, I think we're hitting a hot spot about hitting in youth because my email and my messages are blowing up.
Sure.
And they're all pretty much agreeing with this. And you can call in the show as well, 844-940-ESPN. And I like to hear if you're a hitting coach out there. I want to know what you're thinking about. Even in softball, again, I'm going to repeat, and I've said it a million times on this show, if your bat and you're doing that little warm-up bat where that thing hits you in the back, I see a ton of girls do that, that little – they don't throw the hands through the zone, but they're taught to kind of, I don't even know what to tell you. I can't, we're on radio, but it's really your hands, you can't hit that outside pitch, your warm-up swing hits you in the back.
Yeah.
I'd have to show you if we were on TV right now, but if that's the case, you have no chance to ever play at the next level.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to throw it out there now.
Yeah.
Softball swinging, you have to have a baseball swing. You have to be aggressive through the zone. You can go to Fresno State and watch all those great hitters. And there's no little, you know.
Right.
Now, unless you're, of course, if you're a lefty and you're a slapper.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of speed to first base, that's a different story. But if you're a right-handed hitter and you're doing that little silly swing in softball, whoever's teaching you this, quit now. Go get another coach. I see it. Softball's a whole other world.
Well, Matt. Softball is in its very nature is backwards completely from what I consider being a true sport, because the first part of being a true sport is you identify the game with what is reality, and reality is it's not a softball. So how it ever became softball makes it completely fake to me. It is not softball. It's called big hardball to me. Because if you've ever been hit in the side of the cheekbone with a softball, you'll realize very quickly that it's not soft. There it is.
That's
my entire softball story. Admire the young ladies. I admire the men that do it on weekends. I admire everything about the sport. But can we change the name, please? Period.
Well, that's true.
If I've lived under a rock my entire life, but I happen to be, when I climb out of the rock, an outstanding athlete, and I go to my first organized game of sport, and they teach me the game of softball, and I take to it, how long does it take me to realize that the ball is not soft? How else can I say it? Now, the game that you get me involved with every year is soft. It's like a big, giant mush ball. That's softball to me. Doesn't make any sense.
What would you call it?
Think about it. Why did it ever become developed, the term softball? Apparently, when the game was invented, the ball was soft. Therefore, the term softball. It's no longer soft.
Well, if Matt had to name the sport a softball, what are you going to name it?
Matter of fact, I think the ball is harder than a regular baseball.
I don't know.
It has more mass. There's more density to it. It's very large and hard. It's like a rock.
Well, let's do that. We'll do a test. I'll get both balls. I'll line you up. I'll hit you both in the back, and you tell me what hurts harder.
At the same speed?
Yeah, why not?
I'll take the hard ball. I'm sorry. I mean, I might have a better chance of not hitting some, you know, crazy. It really is.
Well, so last Friday night, Clovis took on Clovis North as Clovis North beat. He gave up six hits, and I think Darian Miller got four hits. But there was a little glitch before the game. The mound coming in was 9 inches tall.
Yes.
Okay. They raised it because it was a little too short. They raised it to 10 inches. They were wanted to raise it to 10 inches. Well, somebody out there turned it into 14 inches. So as a pitcher, if you get to throw off a 14-inch mound, you're Nolan Ryan. Your ball's going to move more. Your curveball has got a little more giddy-up breaking. So Riley Cooper struck out 17. We're going to see him tomorrow night as Buchanan takes on Clovis North.
Okay.
T.J. Fontaine versus Riley Cooper.
Okay, so back up. After the fact, after the guy ripped 17 strikeouts, they realized that the mound is too tall?
It was too well. There's no rule.
There's no rule? Why don't I just build a 36-inch mound and bring it right down like it's coming out of a chimney, right in my face? There has to be a rule about the elevation of a mound. How do you go from 9 inches to 14 and not look at it like, you know, that looks a little tall to me?
So I play old man baseball still, and I know we play a lot out at Sunnyside, and I think that's 3 inches. It's as close as
you
can.
Yeah, you can't pitch overhand with that.
No. But there's mounds all over the valley. As a pitcher, this is why they have home field advantages. You're not used to that mount. That's a big difference. Bullard has a really nice high mount. I love that one.
Yeah.
It depends on where you go.
What I always had trouble with was the pitching mounds at the poor, cheap ballparks that I worked in a lot, and they'd get my big left hand up there, and there was a big, giant pothole right in front of the rubber that I just couldn't get
that
filled in, and it was some particular guy likes his foot buried down in a hole like that. I need smooth.
Yes.
I need a place to put my feet. It won't turn my ankle over and to turn into complete compound fracture.
The better fields you see, the better stadiums, there's no hole.
Yeah.
It's just straight down, so that way you're not hurting your knee as you're trying to, am I going to land in that giant hole? If you see holes, then the field crew doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah, we need to fill that hole in.
You got to fill that with hard clay. Do something. Yeah. You're right. I don't like to see a hole.
Yeah.
So you're on to something. But I'd like to hear from you. 844-940-ESPN. If your kid is struggling with a lot of two strikes, here's the other thing, too, that I see. If hitters are fouling a lot off, it drives me crazy because good hitters don't foul good pitches off. You might want, if you're facing a Riley Cooper or a Clovis North, you might get one good hit pitch to hit. High school, you usually tend to see you'll get maybe two, maybe three good pitches to hit. College, you maybe get one. Same with the major league. Same with the minor league ball. You might get one good hit, a good swing out of it.
Well,
if you foul it off, you might be done.
Well, I go with your rule, which has been, I think it's another one of the Pagmeter type groups of words that you've put together that I used to laugh at and think you were full of cagati. But the bottom line is, I think you're absolutely right. In the world of high school baseball, if you are considered a ball player, a big time, not a pitcher, but an everyday player, if you're not hitting above 400 in high school and you're expecting you're going to some major college to play baseball, you're going to have some problems. And if you're not hitting 300 or better in high school baseball and you consider you're a prospect, you're going to have real problems. And in college baseball, if you're not batting 300 or better and you think you're going to be playing for the Cincinnati Reds, big club, you've got real problems. Does that hold true? Is that ratio of you have to be batting 500, 600 if you even think that you're some big, giant high school baseball prospect?
Great example. I mean, you're spot on because you look at Mr. Murray, the Oakland A's drafted him.
Yeah.
He's hitting 290 for the Oklahoma State team.
Yeah.
Right? Or Oklahoma,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And now he's decided he's going to probably play quarterback. You're right. If you're hitting in the two, and if you're a college coach, I'd love to hear from you as well. And I know he's got a lot of speed, and he probably gets an extra 100 points because of his speed.
His
ground ball
is
short, go to first, not in time. He beat it out.
Yeah.
Now, a guy like that, he better be hitting ground balls. Ichiro, who just retired from the Seattle Mariners, one of the greatest hitters of all time, he knew how to chop and get the ball on the ground to use his speed. Because I've never seen a fly ball yet with a bad hop.
Yeah.
Right? That's just how it is. No, you're absolutely right. Now, quarterback, can he make more money? You see Mike Trout now, who's got the biggest contract ever, Bryce Harper. And I put this on Twitter, man. I'm going to throw this out to you. I said, if Mike Trout's getting that kind of money, 400, was it 420?
430.
430. What would Aaron Judge get? And everyone say, oh, peg meter. Aaron Judge isn't half the ball player Mike Trout is. And I just tried to compare. Aaron Judge on the Yankees is about winning. The Yankees are a winning team, and they're focused on winning the World Series.
Right.
The Angels have been out of it forever. I mean, they're out of it by the All-Star break. Is like a Manny Ramirez. There's no pressure on Manny
Ramirez.
There is no
question that half of the equation, when I'm going to talk about the clowns that follow the NCAA March Madness. Say that again, Russ. What was that, buddy? Yeah, Manny Ramirez, retired. Machado.
Manny Machado. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for that, Russ, keeping everyone on their toes. If you have a ball player and you happen to be in a large market, New York City, let's use that as an example, all the people that have told me exactly what you've said, well, wait a minute now. You can't match the talent level that Mike Trout has compared to the talent level that Aaron Judge has. I mean, it's not even close. Mike Trout is unquestionably probably the greatest baseball player in the last 5 years of baseball. Judge is nice, but he's not all of that. What they tend to always forget, it's not numbers only. He plays for the Yankees. Do you think Aaron Judge brings more to the party? I will tell you right now, Aaron Judge brings more to the game of baseball than Mike Trout. Everybody loves Aaron Judge. They love the big ball hitter. They love the giant, enormous 6'6", 6'7", guy with huge biceps coming in. He is the guy that, if he's only worth, which I believe realistically, if you're talking just numbers, he's probably worth about $290 to $320 million over a 10-year, 12-year contract. He'll make another $100 million just because he's Aaron Judge, the face of the powerful Yankee machine, period.
And all the endorsements.
Baseball is the only sport that doesn't make sense to me when it comes to contracts. It's not the same in the world of football, which never gives that kind of money away, and they're never guaranteed for that long of a period of time. But in baseball, because the sport is such a fledgling spectator sport, when you've got your hands on an Aaron Judge who brings bodies to the game, who brings marketability in the clubhouse, who brings marketability in the stores that should sell his jerseys,
and a chance to win a World Series,
he's going to make $500 million. Remember, I told you that. He's going to break the record of money that Mr. Trout just
achieved. Well, I asked that question on Twitter, and people thought I was
2 years, though. He's got another 2 years till we hear about this.
Yeah. But apparently I was crazy asking that question because Mike Trout, in one playoff appearance, went 1-for-12.
Yeah.
He's like, and I'm not saying, well, you know, he'll never make the playoffs. The Angels should be making the playoff. They got a good budget. They could be make. They just don't have any pitching. The Angels are fun to watch. Mike Trout's going to put butts in the seats. After you go to Disneyland, you're going to go watch the Angels play, and a lot of people are involved. But, boy, Aaron Judge, is there more pressure playing in New York than Anaheim?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Aaron Judge, like I said, his face, his stature, his marketability is equal to or larger than Mike Trout. Now, matrix-wise, numbers, Mike Trout, absolutely. He deserves to be the highest-paid player. Matter of fact, many articles have been written that he's underpaid still, that that's not a great contract for what he brings to the party.
Well, he's still the beginning contract, so that's why. He's not the second contract's a huge one.
Well, I know, but they still have to pay him, like $68 million in the next two seasons. That still comes out to $34 million a year.
Who are you talking about? Trout?
Mike Trout.
Oh, yeah.
Still,
I'm talking about Aaron
Judge. And
then Judge.
The rest of that contract kicks in. No, Aaron Judge has got two more years before we get to see it. But, back up the Brinks truck. when Judge is ready to go for that next contract, the precedent's been set. He's going for that kind of money or more. Period. Now, to back to the NCAA, if you allow me, Nick, I'm going to ask these questions. Back to March Madness. An interesting thing had happened when the NCAA decided to go with these, they call it now the first four. They're play-in games. Let's not let anybody kid you. It's a stinking play-in game to get more money for the NCAA and more money into the coffers of these college programs. I'm all for that. But to call this an NCAA game that counts for anything is absolutely ludicrous. A lot of people have been chiming in about the validity of these playing games. They shouldn't be counted as tournament wins. So, for instance, Arizona State just won a playing game last night, and that goes, they're now 1-0 in the NCAA tournament since they haven't been in the tournament in 10 years. I think that's hogwash. They're horrible. Did you watch any of these games? They're horrible teams, and they're playing equally horrible opponents. How could that count for an NCAA tournament? Typically, well, I got the 3 seed. I'm LSU. Well, who are you playing? I'm playing the 12 seed or whatever seed, the 11 seed, 13 seed, Yale. All right, that's kind of an advantage, LSU. You're a high seed, so you're playing a team that is way lower than you in the seeding. When you have a playing game, I notice quickly, it's the 16 seed playing the 16 seed. What a great deal that is. We're horrible and they're horrible. You're 11 seed, you're playing another 11 seed. That's not a playoff game. That's two horrible basketball teams because of the extra bit of money we can make. And by the way, if you're playing on the True Network, who is the True Network? They got games now. The True Network, a network of Turner. And it doesn't make any sense to me. If you're playing on CBS, TBS, or TNT, you're in the tournament. When you're playing on the True Network, you're a fill-in game, padding the stats of somebody. So for all these people out there chiming in, yes, those tournament wins are wins. They count. They don't count for nothing. The eight teams that I just saw rattle through this final or first four, they call it. Now, it used to be the play-in game. Now they marketed it up to make us get all fooled once again, the media playing games with us. Let's call it the first four. Those teams don't belong in the tournament. Sorry to tell you.
You're on a roll.
I couldn't believe it.
Right,
I'm watching this stuff these last two nights thinking, if Fresno State can't get in the NIT, how did these Mickey Mouse organizations get into the championships of all championships, March Madness? How did they qualify? Money. I'm tired of it. Let's take a break. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening.
Before we go to break, Jim, the legendary Critchlow chimed in and said it's a 10-inch mount. Can't be higher than 10 inches. So thanks, Jim.
So well, thanks a lot, Jim. Can we give Jim more credit than that? Wait till we come back, and we'll talk about that some more, because that's what I thought. Thank you, Jim Critchlow. We'll be back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. Here in the live on the Rise Show on a Thursday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's the Pagamiers, Matty J, Matt Johnson. Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone is officially springtime. Get on over here. We're in the beautiful studios here at 940 ESPN Fashion Furniture Studios. There's nothing like it. Come on down. Hang out. Firehouse Subs is in the house. We got a good crew going on. And we're talking a little bit of everything. Matt is on a roll today.
Well, it's March Madness, and so everybody has to be mad about all this, and I'm really mad that our Fresno State Bulldogs could not even get an NIT invite.
Why is that?
We can talk about that, but first of all, if I'm on a committee to put teams in, I'm looking for the best basketball teams. I'm not caring about anything other than who are the best teams available to me in this tournament. And when I look down the list, and up springs Harvard at 18-11, we're not talking about a school coming from the Big Ten or the SEC or even a smaller – we're talking about the Ivy League, which clearly plays decent basketball. But are you telling me that an 18-11 Harvard team is better than a 23-9 Fresno State team?
No.
And I'm not a gambling man, but I'll take that bet. If you're going to play 10 times, I'll take Fresno State over Harvard 8 out of the 10 times. Only because Fresno State found a way to lose to Air Force in basketball would I be a little concerned that they wouldn't beat Harvard 10 out of 10 times. South Dakota State, They saw more juice in the South Dakota State basketball team than they did in Fresno State. That's flat-out embarrassing. There has to be something there. Now, some of our listeners have talked to us about things such as Fresno State would have been in, but they lost so horribly in such a bad fashion to Utah State in the tournament. But I look back at the other schools that made the tournament, the NIT. They had all kinds of horrible losses late in the game. Did not win their conference championship. Went down in flames to their opponent. It's crazy to me that we were not even talked about more, nationally speaking. Fresno State is not in the NIT. It doesn't make sense to me.
So there's a video out on YouTube, 1982, when Fresno State got the 4 seed in the tournament, Boyd Grant's team, and there was about 5,000 to 8,000 people at Fresno State when they got the call. The red wave was crazy.
Yeah, watch party.
The watch party. And it was really, and I'll put it on my Twitter. It's really cool. You see Ralph Wood back in the day, 1982, announcing it.
Yeah.
See a little young Ralph. Still got the mustache and all that. So the question is, Matt, if they had the old-fashioned red wave, I guarantee Fresno State gets in the tournament. I think they look now as, we can't have a home team. Is anyone going to go watch Fresno State play, like, say, Pekinese State at the Save Mart Center?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think it's something to do with maybe?
There are lots of people that have the belief that the reasons why they didn't get in the tournament was because they didn't want to present such a small crowd to an ESPN national televised audience. I don't believe that. That could be the reasoning. I'm just saying, when I'm looking for tournament teams, my first order of business is putting in the best basketball teams.
Well, the question to me, Matt, is San Diego State has a fabulous home crowd. They pack it up all the time, and they didn't get a game on the NIT or get in the NIT.
Once
so
again,
I don't understand.
Once again, proving to myself, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they have to get as far away as they can from the Mountain West Conference and get aligned in some other situation. If the Mountain West Conference doesn't have enough horsepower to sell teams, other than the obvious one, the one that wins their tournament, but they had to sell Nevada, which was already a national player, so they didn't have to sell anything. And then that's it. No San Diego State, no Fresno State. That's it.
So
that is a problem in a conference. Their marketing stinks. They need to fix that before anything else, because certainly those two teams you mentioned should have been in the tournament over Harvard. I'm thinking Harvard, with all the other scandals going on with giving away college admissions for people that don't deserve it. Harvard's wrapped up in that, too. But everybody wants to, of course, talk about USC. But there's many universities involved in this scandal that's going on right now. I think Harvard probably paid their way into the tournament. I'll go on a limb right now.
We're all over the place today. 844-940-ESPN. We wanted to give love to our commissioner. And if Jim's listening out there, call in the show. 844-940-ESPN. Jim Critchlow says the
pitcher's
mound for baseball has to be 10 inches. You can even go 9, 8, 7, whatever, but it can't be above 10 inches.
And what did I tell you when you told me that the mound was found
you
to be 14
lucky.
Inches?
You got lucky. They made a mistake.
Did you go out there and measure it?
Well, what I understand.
Were the umpires not on the job to go? Do you have to validate?
Do they check the mound height
if it looks a little high?
I think that's just both coaches agreeing we might have a blunder. It might be a little high. Is that okay with you? Is that okay? Let's play ball. And if you're an umpire, I'd like to hear from you as well. I doubt you're going to be able to take the rubber out and redo it right then before the game starts. I was at the game the other night. It was a great game. Clovis North versus Clovis West at Broncos Stadium. And then the rains came. And I stayed pretty much as – then the last inning was in the car. But, boy, oh, boy, what a good game. Clovis West, young, showing me they got a little – some bats. They showed me – I was impressed with the young Clovis West team. So the track is, again, going to be very, very good. It's all about pitching. That the teams that can actually hit the ball might have a better chance. If you're a baseball coach out there, if you don't want to call in, you can message the PAG meter. I know you probably won't. And let me know your thoughts about hitting anymore. Does it drive you guys crazy? I talked to my coach, Mike Noakes, a legendary. I go, Coach, how would our team back then do nowadays? Nick, we would tear them up. Everyone in the lineup hits 400 because we put the ball in play. We're not Everything's an uppercut swing now. They all want to hit it over.
Yeah.
They're out of the parks anymore. And I just don't understand the thinking anymore. There's very few Aaron Judges out there.
That is what I'm saying. When you were growing up as a young lad playing sports, the people that I looked up to were relatively the same age. I mean, you're quite a bit older than I am, but I'm getting close. But the guys that I looked up to were the Pete Rose. We're the ball players that hit for average, that had a lot of base hits. I thought the whole idea back then, now it's nice to see a big George Foster throw up 50-plus home runs or something like that. You get excited over that. But the players day in and day out that were coming to the ballpark, knocking out three hits, two singles, and a double, to me it was like everything. I don't think the emphasis anymore is about someone who goes 4-for-4. It sounds a lot better when you go 1-for-4 and you had a 490-foot home run.
Well, you see it in softball. You got three different type players. You got the pitcher who throws gas. She can be 2 feet tall or 6'8". It doesn't matter. But you throw heat in softball. Then you got the speedster, the little slender girl who can run like the wind. And then you got the big girl who hits home runs.
Yeah.
So that's what you got. Now, baseball-wise, it's almost turning into the same thing. If you're a power hitter, you're just a big, big, burly guy who tries to hit it out. I don't know. I don't understand hitting, and I'd like to help me out if you're a coach out there. I want to, come on, James Patrick and Brian Marsubin and all you guys calling the show. I want to know what kids are thinking anymore. Why is
What's
it just
number?
Everything's at home? 844-940-ESPN. I want to know why. I'm seeing guys take fastballs right down the middle, and even on two strikes, they'll take a fastball away or a curveball right down the middle because they didn't get their pitch. And so they're going to strike out and just go sit down and not worry about it. If I ever talked, I can't remember when I ever took a call third, but if I ever did, I couldn't sleep for two nights.
Yeah.
You just don't do it. Nowadays, kids aren't embarrassed
anymore.
Well,
I know that you're looking at the youth games and the Little League games and Cal Ripken and all that. You see a lot of guys still get applauded for, which I think is perfect, for taking that third strike, but boy, they took a hack at it. I mean, it's a full-on knees touching the ground, Reggie Jackson home run swing.
I'm okay with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm okay with it.
You're just talking about kids. You just watch a perfectly good-looking pitch.
Strike three,
go by,
and then they want to argue me with the umpire.
Yeah.
That ball's outside. What, really? You're going to blame the umpire on a questionable call?
I think that's what happens when you get – I think it's a psychology problem we maybe have in our teaching of the kids, because when you get that, that's just a player that's scared, tentative, timid, and doesn't really want to do anything other than just get out of this predicament they're currently in, then you freeze up. You lock up. You're afraid to swing because you know full well that when you swing, you're going to miss horribly, and everyone's going to talk about you. It's a lot easier to look to the umpire. That was not a strike, and then walk in. At least you can fight that battle when you talk to your friends at home. But I believe in grip it, rip it, let it go, no feelings of timid in you at all. Get on up there and let's go try to hit the baseball.
There's coaches out there telling kids do not hit a curveball in the first pitch.
I hear that a lot.
I just drives me nuts too.
I'm thinking he's got a lollipop curveball. I hear that a lot. For instance, just a couple weeks ago, I heard he was instructed to only hit fastball. Well, what if the guy throws a lot of good stuff? Won't they figure that out? He's only going to swing at fastball. Throw him everything other than fastball.
If I get a lollipop curveball,
by the way, who would do that? And what would be the reason by telling somebody, you know what, swing only away the ability to, mathematically speaking, because it might only be one fastball. Let's say it's two fastballs in there. So now rather than having three attempts, I really only get two attempts at a pitch, and if I miss on the first attempt, now I'm down to one more pitch, and oh, by the way, I got caught looking because I'm waiting for fastball.
A lot of hitting anymore in the bigs and in any league is about guessing. So if you're thinking curveball, he only thrown a lot of first pitch curveballs. I might sit back and think curveball, and then he throws a fastball. I'm going to take it. I get that, but no, coaches are saying do not hit a curveball in the first pitch. It makes no sense to me again. And help me out. Explain to me out there, coaches. 844-940-ESPN. We come back. We're going to talk about the latest in coaching moves. Some school in South Valley has a new coach we'll talk about. There's some basketball hires going to be going on. and what's on your mind out there. This is what we're doing today. It's a Rice Show. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson. Don't go anywhere. Coming back the 1 o'clock hour on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back, live right here at the Rye Show. Thank you so much for making the Rye Show your number one local show. Look at all the great sponsors we have. He went on for 35 minutes. Bowman and Associates. He goes on and on. Firehouse Subs. Thank you, Roger. Great sandwich today. I think I, what did I get?
That's the hook and ladder.
I thought I got the Dalmatian one. That's not the one.
Hey, for someone who represents such a fine establishment as Firehouse Subs, you might want to know what you're eating there.
Well, I like the brisket. I didn't get the brisket today, but you know everything's involved with a firehouse, some sort of fire truck.
Yeah, you had the nice cheese, hook and ladder. Ham, you had it all in that sandwich. That was good.
There, no question about it. We're here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. Beautiful day inside. We're at the 940 ESPN beautiful studios, right underneath the great warplanes going on right here. And
vintage aircraft.
I'd love to take one out still to see if they work.
And, well, they
and
do.
Rod said they work.
No, they all operate. You can see it. They're fully motorized. I would say on scale, or what would you call that scale? 1/8 scale, 1/6. If you matched up 6 of those in a line, maybe 8. So they're not little tiny little toy models. These are big aircraft.
I would guess, Matt, we would take over Tessa Brooke when it comes to YouTube viral. If we took this out on Blackstone and tried to race to fly it, and it crashed maybe into like the roadhouse over here, we might go viral.
No, it would go viral for about a week, and then it would die off because there's no story there. Really. I mean, two yahoos flew their RC plane into traffic. There was an accident. Let's move right along.
How about this idea? So the Pag Meter, we all know, is up for, you hear the commercial a lot.
Yep,
thank you.
Yep.
The Leukemia and Lymphoma Man of the Year.
Yes, you are.
Thinking about doing a party April 13th.
Good idea.
The possible field house.
Why not?
It'll be the Pag Meter Coaches Bash, and I would invite all the coaches in any sport.
Any sport.
And the most that school of all those coaches can raise, they go out and get $5 here, $5 there. The winner of that school on our ice show, we promote them. I can get $35. What are you thinking?
Well, you had me. The plan was a good one, right up until the point you said they can get all their coaches and they can go on a fundraising campaign. No, too much work. How about this idea? April 13th, Pag Meter, you go ahead and invite all the local coaches from water polo, track and field, football, baseball, girls, basketball, soccer. Every sport's invited to come to this party. And everyone can come to the party. And we'll have all kinds of fun and activity, and everyone can make a donation that night to the cause, and there you go. If you're going to ask every high school with the limited amount of time you've got coaches to all get together and say, we're on a mission to go.
It's not going to work.
Not going to work.
Okay.
Tell them to come to the party. What's the fee to come to your beautiful party? We'll have dancing, and we'll make all kinds of excitement. What's the fee? And then the winning group that has something, we'll raffle, whatever we do, they get to talk about their sport on air, one of our shows, for the whole show. They join us and pump up their sport and their team. But they have to show up, and while you're there, make a little donation. A couple $100 to the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society to help out a worthy cause. We do it. We have a great party and fellowship amongst all the coaches. Book it, Dano. I'll be there. I'll bring as many Madera Unified coaches there for this party. I love having parties where we all get to get together and talk about the things that go on in the world of high school athletics.
Yeah, my wife, Lori. And by the way, today is our anniversary. I remembered.
Thank you very much.
I did not remember the first 5 years. I remember today. But she brought up the same thing. Come on, Pagmeter. You do so much for high school. They're going to come over here and support you. I'm like, that's asking a lot for them to show up. But maybe they will April 13th at the field. Let's have a big party.
Put it out. Let's start it right now. For those who are listening right now, April 13th will be the party date.
I want parents as well and ADs. I want everyone involved.
Why not? Bring everybody.
Of course, the big plan is doing a video with Tessa Brooks. You think that'd be pretty good?
That's a great plan, but the chances of that coming together are slim and maybe a 1% chance. I mean, that was the original marketing plan for you. Well, let's put it all on Tessa Brooks' back. You hands down, you'll probably, what's the record? Someone raised $200,000 one year? Okay, we're going to go probably $300,000, not a problem, because she has millions of followers, and if every one of those followers put in a little bit money,
$1.
We'd make $1 million. We'd present the check. You'd be on the cover of CNN Magazine as the contributor of the year. But that plan
is
like most of your plans. Pie in the sky, based on zero chance of happening. Thank you so much for what a great idea.
It's going to happen just for that.
What's going to happen together is we're going to do a party on April 13th. Hopefully we can raise about $5,000 for you to go in so you don't go to the final year-end party and realize they nominated a loser.
Well, here's what I'm asking everyone out there. If you want to be involved with this Tessa video, I'm looking for prizes. We're going to have some auction items. So that dollar, that $5 they donate on those 7 million followers,
sure,
we're going to give away some stuff. So if you want to get involved with that,
yeah,
you can message the Pagmeter on Twitter. You can
Why
go
not?
To M. My page is MWOY.
Are we on the home shopping network, or
can
are we
I
doing a sports
it?
Show? What are we doing right now?
MWOY, Pagmeter.org.
Say it one more time.
MWOY. Pagmeter.org.
Okay.
Go on my page, and you can donate $1
because I've been
if you
speeding
want.
Down 65 down Highway 41, 99. I always hear your commercial. Hi, this is the Pagmeter, and then you give out. Put me on MW. It goes by so quick. How? What am I going to write this down while I'm driving? You need to figure out a better way to make sure. I see it's on your Twitter, and you've got a fabulous Twitter account. Everyone, go visit the Pagmeter Twitter page. That's
Thank
where you're
going
to get all this information. Pagmeter Twitter.
Let's switch right now. The Bakersfield Drillers have a new coach. Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, they do.
Michael Stewart, the former Hall of Famer from the Bakersfield Drillers.
Yes.
Former Fresno State Bulldog.
Yep.
Former Ram and Miami Dolphin is the head coach. Now, he's never been a head coach before. Now, you were never a head coach at one time. What has he got to look into to take over a team?
Well, can I make this statement to you right now?
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever been a head coach at one time was never a head coach. It's the most
That's
overused
right.
statement in the history of the universe. Let me see. Well, you know, he's got no head coaching experience.
Well,
Bill Belichick didn't have any head coaching experience until he finally got hired. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. Let's talk to Chuck real quick.
Chuck welcome to the Rice Show. How are you?
Chuck Bandelian here, guys. How you doing?
Oh, Chuck, we're doing great. Thank you.
You know, I was just a volunteer assistant coach for 28 years at Fresno State, but I'd come even not being a high school coach and help you, Pag.
Oh, I love that.
There you go. This is what I told Pagmeter we should be talking this way about 3 weeks ago on shows. Chuck, we'd love to have you. Spread the word. It's going to be on his Twitter. Just the idea to hang out and rub shoulders with such a fine coach and leader of so many young men. And tell us about the game of golf real quick, Chuck, what you've seen. Any changes that have come over the last 20, 30, 40 years of you being involved in golf?
Oh, there's so many more young kids that are starting at such a young age. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's 40 guys that can win any tournament any week on the PGA Tour. Used to be the top 10 guys would pretty much cover the wins, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, the training starts so young. The coaches are better. It's just a big growth, big growth. And
hey,
on
Chuck,
the NIT deal, basketball, it's definitely a ticket-selling deal for the NIT. You know, and I went to the tournament over in Las Vegas. Nevada had probably 3,500 to 4,000 people. San Diego State had about 3 grand there. Utah State probably had 3,000 people. Fresno State might have had 200.
Ah, not good.
How's that show? Doesn't show very well.
Great question, Chuck.
Anyway, I had to throw that in there.
Hey, Chuck, go ahead. Nick well, Pagmeter wants to say something.
We talk about all the time, how do you get the Red Wave back? I don't know if you can get the old Red Wave back. What I mean, is it over with? Is it a new culture that we live in now for basketball?
I don't know that the younger, what do they call them, X-Gen, millennials, whatever, pay that much attention to being excited at a ball game anymore. They yeah. might be on their tablets or their phones or whatever, but the excitement of the arena doesn't appeal to them, I guess. And, of course, the old Red Wave, half of them are probably passed on. And, yeah. you know, I mean, I started out quite a while ago myself with the Red Wave, and I'm no youngster anymore, so.
You know, Chuck, before you go, this is kind of off the beaten path of what we're talking, but talking in the world of golf and your expertise of being a coach and obviously a great player of the game, when you were watching the Players' Championship and John Rahm had that decision to be made and his caddy clearly told him that he thought he can get him a good spot, flat grass over here, but he decided to go to the green and it, you know, obviously he ended up not winning the tournament. It could have cost him the tournament. What was your take on listening to a cat when you, you know, coached it and played the sport for so long, you've been involved. What was your feeling during that moment? Did you watch that moment on television?
I was flying back from Vegas Sunday. I didn't get to watch that tournament. You know, I've talked to other players about caddies, and, of course, Mickelson, who had one of the greatest, as far as I'm concerned, Jim Bones McKay.
Yeah.
He gave him one call per year to overrule Phil. That was it. Great as Bones was, you know, it's the pros. He's the boss. He's supposed to make the call, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thank you, Chuck. You're going to be over. They got a little tournament back over in your other house over there on the coast, Monterey. What's getting ready to hit over there?
No, I'm in Morro Bay, not Monterey.
But I know, but I mean, they're going to have a golf. They're going to have a match over on the coast coming up, right?
Fresno State Golf.
No, I'm talking the big boys, PGA. So if they have something going on, isn't Pebble got a big event coming up?
U.S. Open in June, yeah.
Hey, Chuck, never mind. Thank you so much. You're the man.
Good call, Chuck. And that was a good answer, good question for him. Everything was wrong.
Everything was just absolutely pulled right out of your papoodie. That was excellent. Good old Matty J.
There's an old Red Wave legend right there.
There it is. And I see him at the basketball game still scorekeeping down on the court and doing his thing and helping with the high school championship at Sellen Arena. Always, always good to see. And that, you know, he has a really good take on – tickets
well,
for the NIT.
Well, I think that said it right there.
Thing.
Bobby will probably, you know, he'll say it too. If Vegas and Nevada and all them have bring in 3,000 fans, we bring in 200, there's your NIT right there. We can't have team. It's about making money for the NIT.
Yeah.
They can have, it's just the way it is. 23-9, it wasn't good enough. Should have been. Again, money talks. We talked about how many times back in the day when Fresno State got a good bowl game because of the Red Wave, they knew they would get 10,000 traveling, 15,000 traveling somewhere. Those days are over.
Those days are over.
Yeah.
There has to be a new body, a new group.
We were just talking about Michael Stewart, the head coach, former Fresno State Bulldog, Ram, Dolphin. He was an assistant coach at Ventura College, so he's got some college ranks in him. And he's coming back to his alma mater.
Yeah, which goes back to the original point that you were making is he doesn't have any head coach. Every time I hear that, I almost want to throw up. He doesn't have any head coaching experience. Somebody at some point, every coach in the history of athletics at some point got a job but did not have experience as a head coach until they got that experience as a head coach.
But
what's most important, does he have the energy, the enthusiasm, the knowledge, and the ability to teach? Can he teach the young kids he's going to be in charge of how to accomplish what he's trying to get done?
We also saw Tim DeRuiter was never a head coach. He comes to Fresno State, and he was a horrible head coach, but a great assistant. Some guys
his experience turned up horrible. You could put a lot of factors. I would not say that he was a horrible head coach. Was he a great recruiter?
No.
Probably not.
Zero recruiter.
But he inherited a team that was supposed to win, and guess what he did with them? They won.
Well,
had he inherited the Carr team and the great talent he had on that team and went .500 football in the Mountain West, then we would say he's a horrible coach. But I would take back. I don't think Coach DeRuiter was a horrible head coach.
Slow down, Matt.
Yes.
Matt, Stevie Wonder and Jose Feliciano could have coached that team into a Mountain West championship. All right? Didn't take much. Hey, Derek, do your thing. Change the call at the line of scrimmage if you need to.
Well, John Gruden, who we consider a pretty good coach, had a group in the Raiders. He found a way to completely dismantle that organization.
It didn't really matter. That was on purpose. He didn't matter. This is about Las Vegas Raider fans. I'm tired of the Raiders. Come on, they're getting rid of all these. It's about Vegas. They're building for Vegas. This is all a formality.
Yeah.
This is all a salad. We're not getting to the steak and prime rib yet, so don't worry. Calm down.
I got you. I got your point. I got your point.
The other basketball high school, Pat Giles, is out of Buchanan, so they're going to need a coach. And a lot of people want that job. There's only one sport at Buchanan that's struggling. It's boys basketball. The rest are just off the charts good.
Yeah, it is about the only sport that's never really got to the supremacy level. I don't even know. You would know probably more than I would on this topic. Have they ever won the Tri-River Athletic Conference in basketball?
I don't know.
We're not talking about a Valley. We know they have never won a Valley.
I think they were close. I don't know if they ever did.
Never won a Valley championship.
No, they've never been in the Selden Arena.
Yeah. That would be a – which was crazy because you think with the great volleyball program they have, with the great talented athletes that they've had in just about every sport imaginable, including cross country and track and field, you would think that they would have a basketball title for league.
Yeah, they haven't. And then the key is it's going to be a ground floor. They're starting over. There's no doubt about it. So you got to keep kids involved. A lot of kids are quitting.
Well, I know it can't be because of lack of facilities, because dealing with the Gateway Track and Field Classic a few weeks ago, actually last week, watching baseball going in the background, Central was playing Buchanan, the lights were on, looking at the soccer stadium complex they have now, that is the greatest facility venue, maybe, in all the state of California, if not top 10 in the nation.
I'd like to know what's better.
I mean, from the aquatic center, the wrestling rooms, the gyms for basketball.
The gyms are beautiful, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Have you been to the football field?
No, I've never been there. It's putting green, immaculate. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. It's just a beautiful place. And this is why, is that why they're always good at track? Kids want to be a part of that?
Well, if you have the greatest venue with quality coaching that they have, clearly, but you have the venue that is the Mecca. We are the, you know, they tore down historic Hayward Field in Oregon, you know, deep spot, and that's given the mantle now, the leadership of great historical track venues now is, believe it or not, on Buchanan High School's campus. That's the greatest track facility in all of the country. And we will have the Olympic trials and or world championships or whatever large-scale meet in the big level can be coming will come to our Clovis Buchanan Veterans Memorial. They will be there.
Way to push it. When we come back, we're going to talk about high school kids now are now acting like they're college kids and switching schools, and we'll tell you what we're talking about. Don't go anywhere. 940 ESPN.
Number one in the Valley for a reason. I don't know what I'm talking about. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. This is your Rise Show. It's Pac Meter and Matty J.
I don't know if the people down at Selma Auto Mall heard that intro. Do you want to say it again? How loud can you possibly be when you've got your headset on? You have zero hearing.
You're telling me about hearing. You can't hear anything.
I agree. Okay. That's the thing. But every time I say it to you, you look at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. I'm just saying, can we tone it down a little bit?
We are live.
Right no. Here. You don't need to all be Paul Leffler on the 13th green at Augusta now.
Now I'm Jim Nance on the 13th hole here at Pebble Beach. He's got a left to right break. Looks like Phil Mickelson. He's got it. Oh, that looks good. It just rolled away from the hole. No, we are live. We try to bring energy to this show.
That's all. I never know how loud it is, either you, myself, and you, until I actually have my headsets off when you do your intro.
So Matt, we're here at Fashion Furniture. Thank you to Firehouse Subs. We still have plenty of sandwiches left. You want to come out and hang out with us. High school kids, and I saw this on Twitter, and I just can't believe what I'm seeing, but we see it in college all the time where you'll see a kid is sitting down with his family, standing behind him, and at an all-star football game, and they'll go right to him. Bam. Well, what school have you decided? He's got the three hats out. Michigan State, or I'm going to go to Auburn. And, you know,
the biggest, most selfish, grandiose flop of all times, in my opinion, is the hat presentation.
I've decided to take my talents to Michigan, and they all go, yay. They're doing this in
college. Mom and dad peel their shirts underneath their sweat jackets, and it's a joke.
So now I saw it on Twitter that the kid is, I want to thank my family and friends. And I thought, he's just going to do it on Twitter. Wow, he's going to go. Let's see where he's going. I read all the way down. I want to thank my family and friends, but I decided to take my talents to St. John Bosco. I'm going to be transferring from Modern Day. What? How does this work now? He's going to do the three hats now and pick a high school. Does the CIF know about this?
Clearly conveying the idea that we talk about all the time and we're baffled by, that he clearly went on a recruiting mission along with someone giving him guidance, visiting the campus, because kids don't make those type of slips with the tongue. That is Freudian at its finest. He knows full well, as do the people at St. John Bosco and the other schools he visited, that we were actively recruiting this young man. And then he has to put on his Twitter to let everybody know, I'll be taking my talents to St. John Bosco. This is what we've become. And I think it's as anything in athletics or in business or life. All the signs now are there. How much more of this can we take before dramatic change hits us again? Because it's time. We can either let it go and open the box to everyone, or are we going to enact some different rules involved in how these kids are courted and what these kids can do to stop this threat, I believe. It's a threat, in my opinion. The private schools need to act the way they act. That's fine. Do it. But you know what? Don't beat up on the weak sister schools and get gratification as you hang a banner because you just whooped up on somebody in a small division, or if you whooped up on. At least St. John Bosco is trying to beat up on Modern Day.
The only way it's going to stop, Matt.
Those schools need to play together.
Is the public schools are just not going to schedule the private schools on their schedule. And the CIF has to put them in a private league and a private playoff game. Make it an open league. Great. You want to be in the open? And if I'm Folsom and say, you know what? We're getting kids from Nevada and Arizona. We want to compete with them. Put them in our league.
Take your home office of CIF. Probably would take 20% of your staff and personnel. They open the new office, which is head of CIF private. And you have your other public CIF headquarter in the same office that handles the other schools. It is that much of a glaring difference between school A compared to school B, one being private, one being public.
In California, are you talking about the Central Valley?
California Interscholastic Federation, which I would guarantee you has talked amongst this subject in closed-door meetings for quite a while. At some point, the reason I believe that schools like Bosco can openly talk about how their recruitment of young student-athletes has turned their program into a perennial champion, which they've said publicly, that those schools can do that because they have given word, as long as you continue to act in this Trinity League and we continually have open divisions where we can match top school De La Salle going up against top school Bosco or Modern Day against this school, it's all fair. Problem is that crossbreeding, that cross contamination, if you will, of powerful private school against a public school, they're still in parts of the state matched up. For the school you're talking about, Bosco, if you really look at their schedule, they're really not playing any schools that aren't like them. When they go against Orange Lutheran, Orange Lutheran's doing the same thing that they do. They're just doing a better job of it. Servite used to be top. They're not doing a good enough job of it, so they got to up their ante.
So right now, Folsom is the new public school king, you could say.
I would say that the public school king is Corona Centennial. It used to be Long Beach College.
Well, I'm talking up north.
But up north, clearly Folsom.
Yeah. Down south is still Centennial, Corona. They have, and Long Beach Poly, they got...
Yeah.
Remember, we found out they have that continuation high school with another 1,500 kids.
Yeah.
And if you can't get 5 or 10 kids out of that, so yeah, it's... It's a game.
And if you've always said it, and this is not a, this is, I'm talking statewide now, not a problem. I've always been the biggest in the pro advocate of parents. It's my child. And if my child wants to go to this school over that school, if this kid wants to go and have his parents shop him around to which private school is going to give him the best opportunity for college and sports, whatever it might be, go do it. What is the one thing that you always ask? I don't have a problem with, but
they have to play with the big boys.
Got to play with the big boys.
Yeah.
If you're going to play that game, then go play with the big boys. Don't go play with the little boys and then go figure out when you've won your 16th straight banner hanging from your gym, that, what did you really do? Your kids were better than the kids you competed against. Now, in the old days, you would call that capitalism. Great, you guys have more and there's always the have-nots. But in the world of competitive equity, can we please keep it competitively equitable? That's what the CIF, I believe, is. They made the model. So now let's live by that model.
I think what happened, too, is when the CIF said, well, athletically motivated, we don't really care anymore. You know, it's going to be a 30-day transfer move unless it's a full family move. Before, we all know you had to lie. And I'm going over there because what a great chemistry program they have. And I really want to get into that chemistry. Oh, and yeah, I do play football. I don't know why. Did I not mention that?
Yeah.
But I'm going to go over there because they do have a good spread offense compared to where I'm going to go. You had to lie.
Yeah.
Now it's like you can go wherever you go. My two things, and I'm going to stick to it, and I'm hoping the CIF does, is if you play summer ball with Team A, and that coach is at a high school, and you transfer to that high school because of that coach, you should be sitting. End of story. And if you follow a coach, and I know there's some, well, you know, there was a thing with Buchanan, when Brad Fonts went to Buchanan. He wasn't going to coach at all, but they had a player follow him. To me, that should be illegal as well. I don't care.
Well, time out. It is illegal.
But no, but the player went first.
I know, but I'm just saying,
I don't care.
You're asking, you still, no matter how it
doesn't matter how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's some kids, and he is a traveler. There's some kids that go to four schools in 2 years. The other one is,
legally, I just don't think you that.
The other one is, too, is I know Marty and Madera does not let you go to Madera South to Madera or vice versa.
Yeah.
He puts a stop to that. Clovis Unified did it. Unless you're a superstar athlete, then we're going to make exceptions. That's just how it happens. But I think the school districts have to put a no-no. Fresno Unified, you go wherever you want. They're not going to say anything.
Once again, I don't think you would find many complainers to the way it's set up right now in the spirit.
No,
of
like
the
you said, I'm just saying, might as well go for it.
But if they're going to continue down this and players are going to continue to make statements that I'm taking my talents to, you know, jumbo high school over the school I was coming from, and that seems to be socially acceptable for a young student athlete to shop around and find his place, and there's enough loopholes there where they can do it legally, then why don't we call it what it truly is, like I've said about college football and everything else that goes on the world, why don't we call it what it truly is? High school now, Jeannie's bottle's been opened up, legal recourse that parents that want to bring an attorney in can pierce any of this CIF stuff anyway. Why don't we call it what it is? It's up to you. You want to go try to build a program, and you want to go out to 7-on-7 and work that sideline with parents and figure out that this kid's not happy, I heard, at school A, and you'd be certainly, you know, offense we run at our school would really help you out. Go for it. Just don't let the teams that do that and somehow find a way to amass 6, 7, 8 college guys as opposed to the one school that has to face them in a championship round of a tournament, and they only have a possible junior college kid that might not ever play, then why not get that team aligned with the school that has that type of talent?
So, well, let me ask you. So let's say the DB Gurus, they have an all-star team.
Yeah.
3 from Central, 3 from Edison, 2 from Clovis West, 4 from Bull, and they can form a team. And they all get together at pizza and go, you know what? I think we all need to play high school football together. Let's all transfer to school A. That's okay?
The players. That's not a communication between a coach.
That's between players.
Yeah, I can call my best friend in high school and say, dude, you need to join forces with me. Now, that player still has to undergo that sit period. As you call it, the 30-day period.
Unless the family moves.
Unless they have a full family move and can convince anyone that they're in that district or in that boundary. But isn't that still the same thing? Teams are super bodying, massing quality teammates to win championships. I don't have a problem with it.
Okay, so how I'm just getting emails right now. What's the difference between, if that's the case,
yeah,
What's the difference between kids transferring to Selma, Kingsburg, or let's say Fowler or Clovis West compared to a private school?
What's the difference? There is no difference. The only difference that we're talking about, or that's not a difference, the only thing that we are in agreeing on here is that we have to have a mechanism in place that fairly aligns the superpower team with the superpower opponent that matches their skill level. I don't want to see a superpower team playing against a team of nice kids, but they have no chance on the field of play, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever the sport might be. If we're going to be competitively equitable, there should be a way of having a panel that can decide the beginning of each year that this school is loaded. They will go through Division 4 or 5 or 2 or 3 or the competition in front of them like a crap through a goose. No contest. We have seen it. How many times now? How long have we been covering these sports? That team has unbelievable talent. The other team, nice kids, but
well,
they don't have talent.
Big difference
and they lose.
Me.
When was the last time? Think about this. Every champion of Division 1, any sport you want to pick, has there ever been a champion of the biggest of the bigs, the Division 1 schools, that wasn't the most talented school?
Very rarely. They're always the best.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
Every champion, Central won football. That team's the best team I've seen.
Yeah, they're always,
right?
Donnie Arex always said there's always 5 to 6 men on every team that take that team to
the
next level.
Anyone who has that level of play, players, look at the entirety of their organization. That school needs to go against the best. But what have we always argued why you wouldn't want to do that? Because we've been being very successful in our state runs with all these different divisional schools. Why? Because we have selectively placed proper talent for the state run, as opposed to if you took all our best teams, no matter what division, the most talented schools, and all put them in Division I, you'd only have one representation in a football state championship run, as opposed to 3 or 4 valuable.
So are we about doing the right thing or doing about winning a state and making look good the rest of the state?
I've always been a believer that if they could make the system work at the end, like they do in the NC2A, at large, this idea that you have to get in, you have to have a...
Then we get to select
afterwards. You've got to have a championship banner to get into that tournament. Well, what about the runner-up? Well, they weren't good enough. They don't get to go represent the state. If they had it to where, for instance, if Memorial Football played Central, and let's assume for the sake of argument that Central wins the game, does that exclude the other school from going to a state? It does, but I don't believe it should. I believe those teams should go on the merit of what kind of team they have and then get placed in competitive, equitable situations for the state tournaments.
Well, there's two things. Number one is, on that part, is I could see that. Well, Memorial lost to Central in the Division I championship, but we're going to put them in Division III. But, hey, wait a minute. Kingsburg won Division III. Well, Memorial's going to be better, so we're going to put them instead. Or do you still put Kingsburg in for them being our champion? See what I mean? It's a cap 22.
No, absolutely. I see it. I see that as long as the powers that be are okay with having a Division I runner-up go to the state football tournament as a Division II state representative or whatever low next division, 1AA, whatever the division tells you go to, then I don't see a problem with that. The more the merrier. Kingsburg's great. They're not going in Division III. They're going to go to Division IV. Have you seen how many divisions are in the state games? It gets bigger and bigger. In the state of Texas, you could play Texas football. You're not 1A, 2A. They're like 6 and 7A teams. They've got so many different rankings of what division you should be in. State of California looks like we're getting a lot of that play, too. We have a lot of divisions.
And the only other advantage before we take a break is a private school has no boundaries. So if Selma, if you're transferring to Selma, you better live in the Selma Unified School District to get a full family moves. If you're a private school, you can live in Selma and still go there.
Which is great. Do what they have to do.
I'm just saying, that's the advantage of a private school. They got no boundaries.
Obviously, there's advantages private school, and I love that. Take that advantage.
But they got to play in the big boys.
They got to play the big boys.
Let's take a break. It's the Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. Tony D coming up next. It's the Pack Meter. It's Matty J here at the fabulous Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. Come on down and check, take a look at what they have. Get your springtime ready because it is springtime. It's going to be 80 degrees about for two straight weeks sooner or later. I know it's going to happen. We're talking a little bit of everything today, and this is one of those great shows we love yapping about. And if the CIF, I know Jim Critchlow and the staff is listening, I would love, and it's going to make a big difference to me, and I know someday this three-year cycle, Matt, we got to get rid of it. This thing needs to be year to year. Change it up. I know it's going to be a little more work for them, but you and I could do this in one lunch seating. We can have it all done because you don't know with the way people are being recruited and transferring. You can't tell me what that team is going to be like in 3 years.
You can't. I mean, there's just no way. And I'll tell you, though, the thing that is just baffling to me is that system, that cycle we're under right now, we've been on in this train for a while, it just keeps getting larger and larger because as long as Max Preps, Cal High Sports, USA Today, every year they put out their version of the Pag Meter rankings. And if you read that, if it's a top 25 list, 18 of the schools are all private professional in every sport.
But that's how they make their money. That's just why Cal High Sport, Matt, loves that. They love to put the top professional teams involved. This is why I say girls basketball, Clovis West girls basketball is the number one public school in the state of California. And I don't look at the teams above them because it's a corrupt private professional program they got going. Sorry, but it is. And you're right, but I think Cal High and all those people love to put the top professional teams on, makes them look good.
Yeah, we open this box up almost seems like every week, and people are thinking, here they go again. These two guys are bringing all this crap up again. But everyone gives us so much fuel. It's so easy to talk about because every week in the last 10 months, it seems like every week there's a new announcement of a kid from Bosco, you know, bragging about I'm taking my talents to the other high school, that there's a coach in a state finals that says, well, it was pretty simple. We went on a national recruiting campaign, and it worked for us. Look at us now. I mean, everyone is giving us this ammunition. Our job is to report it and stop being soft and vanilla, as you like to say, everything. Let's tell the hard line underbelly story of what's going on, and maybe we'll create a little bit of awareness to what everyone probably wants to talk about, and maybe, just maybe, Nick Papagni, things will be set up to where those who grew up in the old day of, I don't care if you play for a 400 enrollment school against a 2,000 enrollment school, you got to get the kids prepared, stop your complaining, and go play the games. But things have changed. And even guys, old dinosaurs like myself, have joined forces now with this idea that I believe in competitive equity. Maybe it's because I'm at Madera South now and I wasn't at Edison. But I believe in competitive equity now because I know what we're all trying to do. And that has helped transform the young lives of the kids, boys and girls that we coach. And if those kids continue to go out on the field to play and get sand kicked in their face repeatedly by these superpower schools, is that truly competitive equity? And is that the model that we're trying? Certain circles might say that's great. They get character from losing like that and getting beat up by schools that have all these talented kids. But I didn't make the new system the way it is. Somebody decided to have this competitive model that everyone has an equal chance within reason to go fight for a championship. But there's always going to be, the way it's set up now, there'll always be a school that just does it a little bit better, has a little bit more charisma, a little bit more something in their uniform color that allows all these kids to want to play for them. And I think it goes with the rich keep getting richer, and the other ones continue to battle and wonder how they're going to get past that because Clovis West keeps doing it in girls basketball, and the girls want to continue to play for Clovis West. Central's the new hot ticket, and the kids are lining up to go put on that helmet for the Central Grizzlies. Clovis now is seeing what's happening, and Clovis Unified, they can't sit idly by and let this happen. Next thing you know, I got a guy from Sanger going to Buchanan. Buchanan's got kids coming in. Next thing I know, Clovis North is probably going to say, you know, well, we used to be the kingpin. So what are they doing over there to keep this cycle going? We're not stupid. We're just telling it like it really is, and people think, what? We're telling you this is going on. So we need to have a sit-down and figure out how we're going to best manage the new age of high school athletics.
It's amazing. We're always ahead of the game. We said 3 years ago this transgender thing's going to start taking off, and now you're seeing top stories. You know, New York, a girl wins, well, boy, girl, who knows, wins the track championship, and we're going to see more and more of it, and then it's going to trickle to college because college now has to win, or I don't have a job. And if I got a chance to get that boy, girl over there, we don't know what it is, but get her in our program, and all of a sudden, here we go.
Whoa, yeah. I won't continue to stick on that one. We know. Yeah,
we don't know.
We know.
We
okay?
know. Here's one thing we do know. If you're a girl,
whatever they identify,
and you want to play in the boys' sports, come on in. We let you. But if you're a boy and wants to play in the girls' sports, that's forbidden. You can't do it. They're just trying to find a way to mix them both together.
Yeah, I think that it's. I've always said, and I played college and professional sports, there were plenty of female reporters in the locker room. I used to think, I wonder if do the male reporters go over into the girls' basketball locker room? I don't think that goes on. I've still yet to see that happen. But I've always felt like at what point, if the young lady is allowed to play for the Little League baseball team, then why wouldn't the young boy be allowed to play for the girls' team if that's what they want to do? If that's what they want to do, how could that be any different than a girl playing on the boy team and the boy playing on the girl team? How can it be different? Well, the boy has a little more testosterone, so he's going to be a little stronger and is going to completely dominate, and that gives that side of sports a bad look. That's the only problem. This young girl that was born a male but relates to being a female and goes off
and on steroids
and goes and wins a girls wrestling championship. We got a lot of attention. Why? Because now, whoa, that can't be happening. Let a young girl go into a boy sport. And what if that boy sport said because she is a girl, she's allowed to get a 10-meter head start on everyone? You get to handicap.
Playing from the women's tees.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to go play in the PGA, but you get to play from the ladies' tees because you are a lady. Then you're going to see everyone make a story of it. But right now, the thing that has made this a story is that the young boy that's becoming a young girl jumps into the girls' sport, a specific track, and starts winning 100-meter state titles. Who's complaining? The parents of the young lady that used to be number one, but now a boy comes in and starts beating her in the sprints.
And the girls
now
are not getting involved. They don't want to, hey, you know
now
what?
You have a story.
We're not going to get sued. Let's let her go. And the other girl's saying, well, she took a scholarship away. I can't win the state championship
and
anymore.
And it's dangerous because they're asking these athletes that go that route that you can't legally participate until you dummy up your testosterone to a level. So you've got to take it out of the body. So you have to take chemicals to make yourself have a lower level of testosterone in your body. That can't be healthy. I don't know how it all works, but that can't be good.
I agree. Now, the other, before we leave today, the Fresno State quarterback commit, Jaden Casey.
Yes.
Jeff Tedford got a good one. Calabas, he's really good. Well, Nick Saban got the call in from Alabama. He's offered him as well.
Good.
And he's saying, I'm going to be a Bulldog.
Sure is.
What's your thoughts on that?
Because
to me, it's a catch-22.
I know you're catch-22. I'm guessing what it will be, and I'll let you say that. I don't have a catch-22. I've got a simple statement to be made. If Nick Saban recruited you and Fresno State recruited you and you were committed to Fresno State, you better stay at Fresno State because you will never play at Alabama. The Alabama starting quarterback, then they might be trying to pad their depth in the quarterback room. No disrespect to this young man. But the quarterback that they're looking for is a super blue list five-star guy that was at the Elite 11 camp, and that's the quarterback that Alabama typically will try to go get, and he will be another face in the crowd. You want to play at a quarterback school? Do you want to play one day maybe and get paid to play? With all the power of Alabama's football program, they have been, traditionally speaking, a horrible talent pool for NFL quarterbacks. We'd have to date all ourselves all the way back, as we said earlier in the show, to Richard Todd, who went to the Jets.
Stabler and Joe Namath. Yeah. 60s and 70s.
Fresno State, you might have heard of them. Carr, Dilfer.
Yeah.
Go down the list. It gets you ready for NFL. There's better quarterback play going on in Fresno State for the next level than there is at Alabama.
Well, that's the catch-22. Do you want to play? Let's say, I'm just saying if he starts. You're right. Bobby said he might never even get the field. He could be third string. He could be working at Froster Freeze in Alabama for all I know.
He might get it. My point was, think about the recruiting lineage of Alabama. They win recruiting battles every year, like national championships they do on the field, based on star rating, the national top-rated people at their positions. Unless I'm missing this, I don't know. I'm guessing that, Mr. Casey is not a five-star ranked top two, three, four in the country a quarterback. The fact that Nick Saban is recruiting this young lad is good for the quarterback, good for Casey. Obviously, he's got some great game, but that's not the guy they're ultimately going to settle in as, the guy that they groom to be the next Tua. Not that guy. They're looking for the five-star guy that came out of the Trent Dilfer Elite 11 school that was at the top of the food chain. That's the kid that Alabama is going to suit up and play the bulk of the games for Alabama.
Well, that's the catch-22. Do you want to play for a team, possibly battle to start, possible win a national championship, or you play for a Fresno State who will never have a chance, the way it's corrupt in Division I football, to play for a national championship? So that's the question. Yeah, I think Fresno State's a perfect fit for a kid like this.
You want to have a better chance to play in a system that, and a coach that will prepare you for the league, because I don't know, Aaron Rodgers, he's had some quarterbacks.
He's pretty good.
Coach Tedford will prepare you better than they do in Alabama to extrapolate all you can out of being a quarterback. That's my point. That's not a slight against Fresno State, and it's certainly not a slight against Alabama. These are facts of what they've produced over the years. Fresno State's a better quarterback school.
Well said. I totally agree with you. You got to go stick with Fresno State, and the Valley will love you, no doubt about it. I want to thank Russ back in the studio, Bobby Boy, setting the equipment up here, our producer on site, Firehouse Subs, of course, our partner in crime, Fashion Furniture. Tomorrow, we will be on at 3:30, the Nick and Nick Show, talking Knicks and basketball, guys, so we'll have plenty of basketball. Also, the legendary, the icon, Rex Hudler, is going to talk to me. What a perfect guy to talk about hitting
the wonder dog.
I can't wait to talk to my old wide receiver, Rex Hudler. It's going to be a great day, and have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening, and coming up next, of course, is Tony D. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.